It is Friday here on Locked On Vols. Congratulations. Round of applause. Make sure you kill the day. Finish off that week strong. It is Interview Friday. We will check in with Ben McKee. We'll check in with Ramon Foster. And we'll check in with Mike Wilson, talking a little Tennessee football and Tennessee hoops. All that and more here on a Locked On Vols Friday edition.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, good Friday, everybody, and welcome into Locked On Vols. It's your team every single day. I'm your host, Eric Kane. Glad to have you guys along for the ride. Thanks for making Locked On Vols your first listen each and every day. Want to say this episode is brought to you by McDonald's. Proudly serving communities since 1965, McDonald's has always been more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's also an unofficial community center. A big thank you to our friends at McDonald's for always being there. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Like I said in the cold open, it is an interview-heavy Friday edition. Want to get more voices on the show. I want to get more voices on Tennessee football and, of course, previewing Tennessee hoops. Because you guys hear me 5 days a week. I know you probably get tired of it. So Ben McKee, my colleague at VolQuest.com, will be first. VFL and NFL veteran Ramon Foster of 104.5 The Zone will be batting second in segment number two. And then Mike Wilson will hit third, coming up here to end the show, talking a little Tennessee hoop. So with that being said, let's jump right into it. My conversation with Ben McKee on a little bit of Tennessee football, some Harrison Bailey, and a little bit of Tennessee basketball. Here is at BenMcKee14 on Twitter. Ben, the time has come. Harrison Bailey has officially entered the transfer portal. I feel like we knew this was coming sooner or later. We got tipped off earlier this week that it was going to happen this week. But I didn't think this would ever be a midseason move before this week. But Harrison Bailey no longer with the Tennessee football program.
Yeah, and you understand from Harrison's vantage point why he is leaving. I mean, he's third on the depth chart, and this is the second coaching staff in a row at Tennessee that has not necessarily been a fan of his game, not in like a rude way, but just in the sense of they don't feel comfortable throwing him out on the football field. And I don't know that Tennessee is losing sleep over losing Harrison Bailey. So we'll see how it plays out long term. He obviously came in with a lot of recognition from high school, and maybe those rankings were a little bit questionable, but we'll see if he can go elsewhere and have success, and obviously wish the kid the best. I'm not a huge fan of transferring at this point in the season. I don't think it's transferring at this point in the season. I think it's quitting on your teammates. I think anybody that enters the transfer portal from the day fall camp begins to the final game of the season, I think you're quitting on your teammates. That was the case last year when Brett Samaglia decided to opt out of the final two games of the year and enter the transfer portal as well. So I'm not a huge fan of it from that perspective, but you certainly understand why Harrison Bailey has decided to enter the transfer portal, just with this being the second staff that wasn't a huge fan of his game. And Hendon Hooker looking like he'll return and be one of the better quarterbacks in college football next year.
Come on now, Ben. Smaglia was just focusing on his academics now.
Yeah, Brandon Johnson was too.
As was Ramel Keaton, as was D'Angelo Gibbs, and all the other guys that opted out last year. Hey, so, yeah, I get it from Harrison Bailey's perspective. I understand that. I'm with you. Midseason transfer, in quotes. I don't really buy that. But you look at Tennessee's quarterback room now, and since the start of June, Tennessee has gone from five scholarship quarterbacks now to two. There's three walk-ons there if need be in emergency situations. But, I mean, Tennessee's quarterback room, only four games left in the regular season, but it's a little thin right now.
It's very thin, and looks like it may be very thin going into next season as well. I know you didn't ask this question, but looking ahead to next year, what does Joe Milton do? Does he want to sit around and be the backup to Hendon Hooker? I wouldn't if I were him. So it looks like it's going to be a thin quarterback room for quite some time for Tennessee, unless they can add a transfer over the offseason. And even that, I think it's going to be hard to add a capable transfer, because what legitimate transfer quarterback is going to want to come in and sit behind Hendon Hooker? So the quarterback room is going to be thin for a while now, and I also think that's just kind of the nature of college football today. The days of having four and five, even three quarterbacks in a room are over. I mean, Tennessee was in the luxury to begin fall camp when it had Brian Maurer and Harrison Bailey also in the mix. I mean, that was far more than most schools had in its quarterback room, and now Tennessee is kind of caught up to the rest of the SEC. Most SEC teams have just two quarterbacks in its room because of how the transfer portal is today. So it's certainly an issue, and I think it's an even bigger issue for Tennessee because Hendon Hooker obviously runs the football so much, and obviously when you run the football, you're more susceptible to injury or you're more at risk for injury. So it could get real interesting real quick, but I think part of it, Kane, is just it's just kind of how college football is today, and coaches are just going to have to find a way to work through that.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued to see what Joe Milton wants to do because he'll have another year of eligibility. He's already graduated from Michigan. He's already at his second school. I can't imagine he'll just want to sit by and just do nothing. But then again, I mean, it's like he's been there, done that for so long. So I'm curious about him. Also, I think we all expect Hendon Hooker to return, but number eight in terms of quarterbacks for Mel Kiper. And of course, this is not a good quarterback class, but always got to have a watchful eye on that. And then, of course, Taven Jackson will be a part of this 2022 class. I'm with you. I think you're going to go out in the transfer portal and go and find a capable guy to come in here and be a backup, but that might be a tough draw because everyone knows that it's going to be just that. It's going to be a backup role. Hey, eight games into the season, it's the bye week here. We kind of reflected a little bit as a group and, as a season as a whole. For Tennessee, first year under Josh Heupel, is Tennessee ahead or behind of where you thought they would be eight games into the season?
Ahead of schedule, and it's not even close. There were some who follow college football very closely predicting Tennessee to win three or four football games. And that was never my expectation because I never bought into that. And I thought those saying that Tennessee would struggle to win three or four football games weren't actually doing their homework on Tennessee because, yes, depth is an issue. But as we've learned, Tennessee on both sides of the ball have enough playmakers to be a bowl team. And that's exactly what Tennessee is. My expectations were to hover around that six win mark. I thought they were more than capable of getting to six wins. So just in terms of looking at the wins, they are on schedule. But I think when you look at the way they competed against Pittsburgh, who has turned into a top 20, top 25 football team with a Heisman candidate, the way they competed against Ole Miss, the way they competed against Florida for three quarters, Alabama for three and a half quarters, I think that just is proof in the pudding that Josh Heupel is going to be successful, in my opinion. I know it's still early, and fans are rightfully reluctant to buy in all the way to Josh Heupel because of Derek Dooley, Butch Jones, Jeremy Pruitt. They all had early signs of success, especially Pruitt and Butch. The way that they have performed in losses are completely different than the last two to three seasons. And to me, that's the sign of Josh Heupel being ahead of schedule because guys are bought into what he is doing, and he's doing a great job. He and defensive coordinator Tim Banks are doing a great job of scheming things up to give Tennessee a chance to be successful when last year's group would have been blown out by the teams that Tennessee narrowly lost to this year.
All right, man, we'll transition over to hoops real quick as we kind of draw this interview to a close. Tennessee, a number of point guard options this year, whereas it hasn't had many the last couple seasons. Of course, Kennedy Chandler, you've got Zakai Ziegler. Of course, Santiago Vescovi can continue to play the point. Josiah Jordan-James, Huntley Hatfield, of course, Folky. I mean, there's a more complete basketball team this year on paper. Exhibition play tomorrow against Lenoir Rhyne, Carson Newman, arrival. Kind of what's your expectations here? I know it's early, and I know that we'll learn more about this team as the season goes on, but what's your outlook on this year's Tennessee basketball team?
Yeah, I mean, this should obviously be an NCAA tournament team. There's more than enough talent to make the NCAA tournament. The question is, how far should they go into the tournament? And I do look at the tournament as a crapshoot and kind of what draw you receive on your side of the bracket will dictate how far you go in the tournament. There can be some good luck. There could be some bad luck. But ultimately, I think this is a team, at minimum, going into the year without seeing how the new pieces are going to fit in. I think at minimum, this is a team that should definitely make it through the first weekend and make it to the Sweet 16. And as the season progresses, we'll learn more and see whether this is simply a Sweet 16 team or a team that's capable of making it to the Elite Eight. So I know that's a little bit of a cop-out answer, Kane, but there's just so many new pieces. You're going to have two freshmen essentially running the basketball team in Kennedy Chandler and Zakai Ziegler from the point guard position. There's others who will chip in. Santiago Vescovi, Josiah Jordan James, Justin Powell. They'll chip in at point guard, but the two freshmen will primarily be running the offense. And you have some other new pieces. Justin Powell, as I mentioned, the Auburn transfer who's going to play a key role. You've got some young freshmen in the post that you're trying to get in the mix. Can Olivier Kamwa truly take a step forward? How much does Josiah and Santiago, Victor Bailey, how much have they improved? Can John Fulkerson, who is already banged up with a broken thumb and off-season shoulder surgery, can he stay healthy and contribute at the level that he's capable of? There's so many question marks around this team. So I don't have an expectation for just how far that this team can go in the tournament, but I do think at minimum, just entering the year with a lot of questions unanswered, I think at minimum they're a team that should make it through the first weekend of the NCAA tournament.
Great stuff as always, Ben McKee. Give him a follow at Ben McKee. Was it 14? Ben McKee 14 on Twitter?
Absolutely. The best number that anybody could have.
There it is. Little Eric Berry there. Also, let's end on a good note. You've got the Stros. You've got the Bravos tied at a game apiece. Series, the World Series, the Fall Classic, heading back to the ATL for three straights. How we feeling? Who we think we're going to win this and how many games will it take to do it?
Well, as you know, I am a diehard Yankees fan. So as a diehard Yankees fan, I don't want to see the Astros be successful after they cheated the Yankees out of a World Series a couple of years ago. And Aaron Judge out of an MVP, Mr. Little Jose Altuve. But I do want the Braves to win. I'd like to see them win. And I think they find a way to pull it out. I have a connection with the Braves, with my former teammate and high school friend Kyle Wright being added to the Braves roster just before the World Series began, and came in and pitched last night and looked well and looked great in game two. So I'm excited for him and pulling for the Braves so my buddy Kyle can get a ring. And I was going back and forth. I think it's real evenly matched, Kaner, but I don't know. There's just something about this Braves team that makes you think that they're going to find a way to pull it out.
Likely bullpen games in four, maybe even five. Old Kyle Wright could go in there and maybe stretch things out three or four innings. That'd be huge for the Atlanta Braves. Ben McKee, VolQuest.com, and the Swain Event. Thanks, brother.
Thank you, my friend.
Again, a big thanks to Ben McKee. Does great work. One of my colleagues over at VolQuest.com. Hey, McDonald's, proudly serving communities since 1965. McDonald's, it's always been more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's really a place where friends and family can come to reconnect. It's a place where classmates can meet up for a study group, knowing they're going to have dependable Wi-Fi and endless supply of French fries and McFlurries. Win or lose, it's a place where teammates, competitors, and the home team or the away team can come to recharge. It's a place where you always look forward to while stopping on a long road trip to rest the legs and refuel. You guys know about my time spending in the Tri-Cities. A lot of late nights covering minor league baseball, doing play-by-play for the Kingsport Mets. And I like to do work during the middle of the night. I'm just a weird guy. So I'd get done around 10, 10:30. I'd head on over to McDonald's, use that Wi-Fi, get a sweet tea, and pound out a couple hours of work. It was always fun. And yeah, if I ever needed a little French fry, I would go there, and it would be tasty and hotter than ever. So you guys know about McDonald's. I mean, we're not new here. You know about that value menu. It's simply something for everybody. And, you know, I'm loving it. I know you are as well. So McDonald's, go ahead and stop by, reconnect today, and enjoy that family atmosphere. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Welcome back into segment number two of a Friday Locked On Vols. Thanks so much for making us your number one listen, Locked On Vols, each and every
a weekday, Monday through Friday, available completely free anywhere you get your podcast. That is Locked On Vols. I want to bring part of my conversation that I have with Ramon Foster on 99.1 The Sports Animal earlier this week, talking a little Tennessee football. You guys know Ramon. It is he is an NFL veteran of 10-plus years, Pittsburgh Steelers, a VFL, and now he does radio in Nashville at 104.5 The Zone, and really, really good stuff. So Logan Ward might be a voice you hear in part of this. I just grabbed it and wanted to throw it in this podcast, but it's my conversation along with Logan Ward with VFL Ramon Foster. Here is that conversation.
Hey, they're at the bye week, Ramon, 8 games in, 4-4, 2-3, okay? I wrote a column earlier this week, and I said, hey, this is exactly where most of us thought Tennessee would be. But when you dive down into it, you can make the case Tennessee is ahead of pace right now in terms of what even you might have thought Tennessee would be right now under Josh Heupel. Kind of, where do you see this team right now, 8 games in?
I had them on the season 7-5. And I said 7 because I felt like it was too quiet in Knoxville in the sense of the coaching as far as the kids, seeing that the kids are all on the same page. And, yeah, I'm saying kids, but the young men, they're all on the same page. I was like, maybe, just maybe, they'll sneak one in. I thought the pick game was possible, and it was, looking back at it. And now we realize they're better than what we thought. And I thought the Ole Miss was possible, and it was, looking back at it also, and considering they probably got the front runner for the Heisman. I mean, they've done a lot of good things. We've asked, I hate to say we asked, because we as Tennessee fans get a little, you know, boastful about what our expectations are.
A little bit.
But what I thought this year, you know, they can get, you know, 6 wins, 7 wins, and, you know, beat the teams you're supposed to do. And compete against everybody else. And I'll be honest with you, the way they're competing, even against Alabama and, you know, other teams, I didn't know if they were really going to compete the way they are right now. I'm a little shocked by it. So, yeah, when you say they're a little bit ahead of schedule, I'm optimistically saying I'm with you on that, because we hadn't seen this in probably 4-5 years, this mm-hmm. type of competitive, never-die attitude. And Heupel doesn't say much, but I feel like the way my coach in Pittsburgh poured into us and was real bland with the media except for that USC job question, I feel like that's the way Heupel is with his kids. You know, like, they know that he's in their corner and he wants to win and he wants them to win too. So that was my impression when I met him and when I talked to him and just being around him, is the whole ego thing is out the window. I did a pod with somebody yesterday from A to Z Sports, and they said, you know, it's almost as if he's so comfortable because he's won the national championship. He was second up in the Heisman, where when he walk in the locker room, he feels like one of the guys. And that's hard for some coaches that's kind of, you know, never played or, you know, went through the school of how to be a coach. He's actually a player that was a smart guy that became a coach.
When you look at Tennessee against teams like Alabama, against Georgia, or they'll play Georgia in a couple weeks, against Florida, you know, I was down there covering that game. I never once thought Tennessee was going to win that game. But on a night where you couldn't run the football, on a night where you were 2-13 on third downs, on a night where you were held to 64 yards on the ground rushing, on a night where you possessed the football just 19 minutes, Tennessee was able to still create explosive plays and find the end zone. Tennessee was down by a touchdown in the fourth quarter. And then Alabama, you know, does what Alabama does, and they pulled away at the end because of two quick touchdowns, you know, on short field position. Kind of watching all that unfold there as you're sitting in the fourth quarter seeing Tennessee down by a score, kind of what was going through your mind? Did you think that, you know, there was a path to potentially an upset, or were you just kind of waiting for that other shoe to drop?
I was thinking, you know, if they keep it that close, you know how it is when you have a lesser opponent. I think everybody would agree with me when I say Tennessee's a lesser opponent when it comes to what Alabama has. Alabama's got one of our former players on their team, so we're a little bit less than what they are. When I speak about the coaches, I speak about the recruits that Alabama has, I was just thinking, well, if we could keep it close, within a score, within 10, there's no telling what could happen in the end. But you're right, we kind of wore thin, one or two mistakes, which is what Alabama does. I feel like they got the New England Patriots philosophy when you say when they wait on you to make a mistake, and that's what Alabama did. They capitalized all over that. I really thought it was going to be worse from beginning to end. And I was happily just I was excited to watch that turn into what it did at the end of the night, man. And just know that the score was an indication of what the actual competition was. And Alabama is just them. And honestly, even looking at what Clemson's going through right now, everybody's kind of biting the bullet when it comes to just finding a level of consistency.
Hey, Ramon, Logan Wood here. Thanks for joining us. Obviously, you know, moving into the off week, I think, you know, number one thing that should be done is just get healthy for Tennessee. But what tops Ramon Foster's to-do list for Tennessee outside of just getting healthy?
Cutting down on the penalty still. We can't afford to give anybody a freebie. Nothing that we've done this year has been easy for us. And us having penalties just take away from everything that you're trying to do. And realizing that, you know, this offense works on, you know, being able to move forward all the time. And when you have a first and 15 or first and 20 because of a penalty, that holds you back, man. I honestly can't say too much other than that. Really, is those types of things. It's the small in-game decisions that have been solid from him. Heupel and his staff have made second-half adjustments. I feel like the kids are prepared. It's just cleaning up the penalties. And when you move fast like that, I'm sure that's part of it. But also considering, you know, the discipline they had last year, I'm sure, you know, retraining the kids to be disciplined, not make penalties, is something that's been foreign to them for about a year.
So being a former college and NFL offensive lineman, what's been your overall thoughts from this Tennessee offensive line? Obviously, they've been very, very banged up. It's been kind of a mix and match from a starting five group. What's been your overall impressions of this offensive line through eight games?
Man, Coach Ellerby said from day one, he had to teach them a good bit of stuff just simply because they were behind the eight ball on some things. And I'll say this, with as many moving parts as they've had, they've maintained a level of play that's acceptable in the SEC. And I love that about them. And again, you go through almost any of the top programs, there's a bunch of four and five stars in their rooms. And we don't have that luxury at Tennessee. And for that to be the case and us still to compete with teams more than what we should have, I think is huge for that OL. Jerome Carvin, oh my gosh, like that guy right there has probably made himself a whole lot of money this year. And sometimes it's okay to be a late bloomer like that when one's the wear and tear on number two. I feel like he's kind of got my mentality a little bit of trying to just prove to people you belong, and now he's at the spot. And if he ever gets an opportunity at the next level, man, he's going to take advantage of it because he's going to walk around with a chip on his shoulder. If Coach Tomlin ever asked me would I vouch for Jerome Carvin, 100%, because he's done it, knocking on wood right now, almost as flawlessly as you can ask a guy who's just now starting, who's moved from guard to center, and just, I mean, hats off to him. It would have been easy for him to transfer to Memphis because that's where he's from. You know, but he stuck it out, maintained the level of consistency, and now is one of those guys you look forward to seeing on every Saturday.
Hey, last thing, Ramon, we got about 30 seconds. Got to put you on the clock here, okay. But you brought up Jerome Carvin. He's one guy that I think of when I'm about to ask you this. Jerome Carvin, Cedric Tillman, of course, Hendon Hooker, guys like Alante Taylor potentially, maybe K'Ron Calvert. This Tennessee team can welcome back some super seniors next year, guys that might not be draftable players right now, but could turn into that. And Tennessee could welcome back a whole lot of talent for this 2022 team. I think Josh Heupel is going to have a whole lot to work with next year as well.
I think so, man. And to that point, I say this, if you can be a super senior, take that time. The real world can wait, number one. But if your draft grade isn't what you want it to be, that's fine. Come back again. And again, this is the way Heupel's got to build his team. It looks like he's going to do it. Get some guys that can implement his format, his formula inside of that freaking locker room, and it carries out and pours out into everybody. I think everybody see right now he's won them over. Now with the consistency of those players pushing his narrative forward, that's how you build a program. From Danny White to Josh Heupel to Nundy Plowman, everybody has kind of said the exact same thing. Look what Rick Barnes has done. He's put his system in place with guys like that, super seniors, three stars that you work up, and then they set a baseline for everybody else.
Ramon Foster, VFL, NFL veteran of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and over on 104.5 The Zone, J. Martin, Ramon, you guys are on from 6 to 10 in the morning Central Time. Thanks so much for joining me, man, and enjoy the rest of your night, all right?
Never a problem, guys. Y'all stay safe.
A big thanks to Ramon Foster for taking the time with me earlier this week to talk a little Tennessee football, and we'll talk a little Tennessee hoops with Mike Wilson on the other side. But first, guys, back and better than ever. It's a new web interface for the start of basketball season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline.ag. Yeah, that's who. It remains your number one spot for college basketball as well as football. We still got a third of the season left here. And you can head on over to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus. All you have to do on your first deposit is use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive that bonus. So if you give 100, they're going to give you 50 to play with. 50% and a welcome bonus on your first deposit just by using the promo code Locked On. From basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC to your favorite Las Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet online, it is where the game starts. And you guys know we couldn't do a Friday episode without plugging a little Built Bar. If you haven't tried Built Bar by now, you're truly missing out, okay? They say it's a protein bar, but it doesn't taste like one. You have got to try one of these amazing bars for yourself to truly believe it, okay? Most protein bars are chalky or waxy or just plain hard to choke down, but a Built Bar is soft and is covered in 100% real chocolate, and when you bite into it, you know you're eating something different. It's more of an experience, really, and something that you're going to enjoy. In fact, you'd swear you're eating a candy bar. Built Bars are low carbs, low calorie, low fat, low sugar, but high in the things that matter like protein. So all the healthy benefits on top of just being purely delicious in so many flavors. Another great thing about Built Bar, so many of those mouthwatering flavors, including coconut raspberry, mint brownie, coconut almond, salted caramel, double chocolate, and cherry. And this month, Built Bar is coming out with new limited time flavors every 3 to 4 days. So be sure to be dialed into the website. You don't want to miss out on anything. What is that website? It is builtbar.com, okay? Just kidding. It is built.com. It is built.com. Use that promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. We got a final segment left here of a Friday interview-heavy Locked On Vols. Thanks so much for joining me, and I hope you guys are enjoying the different voices trying to bring onto the podcast. You guys can get more perspective of Tennessee football and Tennessee basketball outside of just, well, yours truly. But I do appreciate you guys listening to me and taking what I have to say to heart as well. Well, sometimes at least. Next up on the Friday show rundown, we will chat with Mike Wilson. Much like Ramon Foster, Mike joined me along with Logan Ward on The Sports Animal earlier this week. Talk a little Tennessee hoops. So, Mike Wilson of the Knox News Sentinel, knoxnews.com. He is up next. Here's Mike.
I feel like last year we kind of, as you know, this fan base and even some of us in the media just kind of said, all right, so this basketball team has got legitimate Final Four talent, which it did last year. Okay, but obviously I feel like it got too hyped up and it obviously fell short. How should we be looking at this Tennessee basketball team that is more complete on paper and has just as much talent, in my opinion, or maybe not just as much talent, but got a lot of talent? How should we be viewing this team heading into a new season?
Yeah, I don't know if last year's expectations were unfair, given the talent on the roster, but it just never clicked. And it just kind of became it was a difficult team to watch for most of the season. But yeah, I think what you said is really accurate. On paper, this is a more complete team. I think you look at this roster and you see how 1 through 5, it's much more cohesive, much more complete. There's more options at point guard. I think it's probably the biggest difference you notice when you've got Kennedy Chandler, Zakai Ziegler, and Santiago Viscovi. Whereas last year, you know, Jaden Springer and Keon Johnson were playing some point, but neither of them is really, really perfectly suited for that. So it is a more complete team on paper. I think there's certainly question marks, but I think you can see the potential of it as well.
Yeah, Mike, you brought that up right there, point guard. And I want to start there because essentially that's where the offense starts. And Tennessee has not had a point guard since Jordan Bone. And I feel like that really drug down this team offensively the last couple of years. And I feel like that drug down the play of a John Fulkerson a little bit last year as well, among other things. But Tennessee, as you mentioned, you have three options here. I mean, you got Viscovi, who's been here a couple of years now. You got Kennedy Chandler and you know, Ziegler. How is Rick Barnes going to try to, you know, manage the minutes there? And when one's playing on, can the other play the two? I mean, how's that? Those three guys gonna formulate and get minutes? Of course, Kennedy Chandler's gonna lead the way.
Yeah, I mean, the one challenge there would be defensively if you had all three on at the same time. I mean, Zakai's 5'9", Kennedy's around 6 foot, Santi's probably 6'2", 6'3". So it would put yourself in a tough spot defensively. But I do think that all have the ability to play the two as well. Certainly Santiago is well suited for that position. I mean, he's a very good shooter and drawn a lot of praise this preseason. Zakai Ziegler is a guy that people are talking about his shooting ability too. So, I think if I had to pinpoint a difference from last year to this year, it's that. And, you know, I was talking to Grant Ramey about this earlier, and it kind of harkens back to that SEC title team that had Jordan Bone, Lamonte Turner, and James Daniel III, in terms of guys who can play the point and depth that position. And Rick Barnes hasn't had that since that year.
Hey, Mike Logan Winter, thanks for joining us. Going back to last year with Keon Johnson, Jaden Springer, a lot of people in the media and the fan base was expecting, you know, right away them to come in and just carry this type of team. And I get the kind of sense that a lot of people are expecting similar things from Kennedy Chandler. But right away, in the first 2 months of the year, before SEC play, what's the realistic expectation for Kennedy Chandler?
Yeah, I think the one important caveat there, too, is, and this is something Rick Barnes has hammered home, is Keon Johnson, Jaden Springer didn't get an offseason, you know, a typical offseason to really acclimate themselves to college basketball. And Kennedy's gotten that, and that's going to be, I think, a major boost for him. But, I mean, I think people are going to be pretty excited to watch him. You know, we've seen, I think, three open practices for the media, and I went to that open scrimmage before the Ole Miss game as well, and you see the playmaking. You see the court vision. You see that he can shoot, knock it down, but he's just so crafty with the ball and getting into the right space, making the right play, and I think that's something that's really going to excite Tennessee fans. And it's also good because you've got a lot more shooters on this team, too, that he can open the floor for by getting into the paint there.
So finish this sentence for me. Tennessee basketball will be successful this year if they do what?
Man, I think the success to me, I don't know if there's a thing necessarily. I mean, rebound and defense would be two things because those are slight question marks I have. But I really think going back to Kennedy Chandler and John Fulkerson to me are going to dictate a lot about this team. If Kennedy Chandler is as good as advertised and can really run the offense capably from day one, that's going to really change this team because it gives them that presence at point guard they haven't had. And I think if we see John Fulkerson return to what he was, what we watched 2 years ago, that's going to make a big difference as well. Because Tennessee didn't have any consistency or stability in the post last season, and that's something that John Fulkerson can give them. And if they have that, I think that really, really will allow them to be successful.
Yeah, you brought up John Fulkerson there. We obviously know how big he is of importance to this Tennessee basketball team from a leadership standpoint, from a locker room standpoint, of course, you know what he can do on the court. But Brandon Huntley Hatfield, tell me a little bit about the prized freshman that a lot of Vol fans are super excited about seeing play, and what are the expectations for him?
Yeah, I'm curious to see what he does early. I think the starters are certainly John Fulkerson and Olivier Kamwa going into the season. The guy I think is going to make a big jump. I've been on the Olivier is a really good basketball player bandwagon since he got here, so I think this is the year that I might be right. Hope I'm right. But, yeah, Brandon Huntley Hatfield, you know, he's a five-star recruit like Kennedy, but I've wanted to see more from him at practices. I've wanted to see more steady play, more consistency. But you see some offensive savvy. You see that he can shoot the ball a little bit from the outside. I think I'd like to see more consistent rebounding and defense and attention to detail in those areas. And obviously there are things that will either keep you on the court or keep you off it. So I'm very curious to see how he jumps in early in the season. Because you see, again, the offensive skill, but you got to be a complete player to really play heavy minutes.
Hey, last thing, man. There will be some redshirt guys. I believe Tumba is going to redshirt the Knoxville Catholic product. Who else on this team that was brought in it might be a redshirt candidate this year?
Yeah, I think he's the only one that jumps out at you just because he was a reclass from 2022. Certainly is incredibly raw. I am curious to see what happens with Jonas Adu, who was a high four-star prospect. He's been out for 2-3 weeks, is still getting back into it. And, you know, jumping back in this time of year isn't an easy thing to do. So I'm curious if that affects him at all. But that's it. I mean, I think on the wing, Quentin Dabunje, I believe is the pronunciation.
Dabunje, yeah, in French. Dabunje.
Dabunje, yes. Tennessee does a great job of recruiting players with hard names to spell.
Yes.
That is something I'm convinced they mess with us in the media by doing that. And Jemai Meshack, two guys on the wing. I think both of them have an opportunity to contribute light minutes, probably, just because of the depth and experience Tennessee does have on the perimeter. But, yeah, I think Tomba's that only guy that you kind of look at and say, yep, that would make sense if he redshirts this year.
It's funny. I'm telling Mike how to pronounce his name when Mike covers the team and knows way more about how to pronounce pronunciations of names than I do. But, hey, Mike Wilson, thanks so much for joining us, man. I'm going to let you get home. Be safe. Atlanta, we're up 1-0 right now, game one of the World Series. But Tennessee basketball, it's just right around the corner, and I think it has the potential to be a fun and exciting basketball season. Of course, where can our listeners stay on track with all your work this season?
You can find me on Twitter at @ByMikeWilson, which is a very easy name to spell and pronounce. And then GoVolsExtra and KnoxNews.com.
Just a real basic guy. That's Mike Wilson. Mike, thanks so much, dude.
Yeah, appreciate y'all.
Again, big thanks to Mike Wilson for stopping by the show or stopping by and talking with me on the radio earlier this week. And, of course, I'm going to bring that here to you guys on Locked On Vols. And that'll do it for a busy Friday. We heard from Ben McKee, VolQuest.com, and Swain Event. We heard from Ramon Foster, NFL veteran, 104.5 The Zone, and, of course, a VFL. And we heard from Mike Wilson of Knox News, all about Tennessee football and Tennessee basketball. Stay dialed in to @LockedOnVols, @_Kaner, and @LockedOnPodcast all week long. Again, no Tennessee football game this weekend. A little bit weird, but we're going to come back stronger than ever and discuss Kentucky against Mississippi State on Monday and preview the Wildcats all week long as Tennessee heads on for the final stretch of this regular season. Thank you so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen. Now you know the drill. Locked On SEC, a big SEC weekend on the docket. Give Chris Gordy a listen. That's Locked On SEC with Chris Gordy for your second listen. Guys, thank you so much. We've reached another end of the week. The numbers have been fantastic, and I can't thank you enough. You guys make this show, and I enjoy the hell out of it. Thank you guys so much. Enjoy your weekend. Stay safe, and have a great rest of your Friday, everybody.